I'm Mark Bayshore. Glad you could join us here on Good Friday. At the top of our program today, the leading advocacy group for Michigan cities wants to relaunch what it says is a critical policy discussion over state revenue sharing. The Michigan Municipal League says state government has shrunk its investment in cities, townships, and local governments, and that recent state policies are largely to blame. It says we've created a perfect storm that, quoting now, will destroy Michigan communities, unquote, by allowing infrastructure to decay and by eliminating important public services. The organization drove home its point earlier this week in Lansing at its annual Capital Conference. It shared its analysis of U.S. Census data that shows Michigan was one of only four states to reduce investment in cities between 2002 and 2012. To explain the league's concerns and the new effort, Current State welcomes Tony Mangini, Chief Operating Officer of the Michigan Municipal League. Tony, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We'll point out to our listeners that your effort and your relaunch of this policy discussion is featured at a new website, Save My City, that's savemicity.org. The fiscal health of municipalities was a main topic at your gathering earlier this week. It's the point of the new initiative. In layperson's terms, Tony, if possible, talk to us about these policies that you say are at the heart of this problem.
Well, we have such sharp revenue declines for cities in Michigan over the last decade plus, and it's really a result of a couple different things. One of them you alluded to, which is revenue sharing. That stems from the state making budgetary decisions to use dollars that were supposed to flow to cities to use for their operations, to fund city operations. We have the data out there. If you look at the House Fiscal Agency, it produces an analysis every year. $1.6 billion would have been the amount of full funding in this year, and just a little over $1 billion is flowing to cities. When you layer on top of that our tax system, our taxable values as a state declined so sharply during the Great Recession that we are now at levels that we hadn't seen since 2004. And the way our system is built, it'll take decades to return to where we were. And that's not adjusting for inflation. That's in real dollar amounts. And when you combine those two things together, service delivery becomes a real issue.
And so the league has launched a legislative and policy push here aimed at reforming municipal finance to encourage renewed investment. How do you intend to change minds here? How is this effort going to unfold exactly?
Well, I think the first thing we're trying to do right now is create awareness. With term limits, you don't have the longer view that you would have had in years past. So step one is really to educate not just the legislature, educate local officials, educate residents, educate businesses. Everyone needs to understand the impact that not having strong cities has on where they live, on where they work, and on our overall economic strength. When you look around the country, you have over 80% of the GDP being created in the cities, but we're disinvesting here. So if we don't have strong cities to attract talent, retain talent, over the long haul, that's going to be to our detriment. And that's something that we're trying to help folks connect those dots so they realize just how important it is to have great places here in Michigan.
I want to clear something up here, though, before we go any further. I ran some of your points regarding cuts in revenue sharing past James Holman, who's a policy analyst at the Mackinac Center. This happened yesterday. Mr. Holman referred to data showing revenue sharing in Michigan going up recently. Let's hear those comments, and then we'll take it a little further. Here he is.
Even the statutory revenue sharing has been increasing substantially since, let me look at the numbers here. The statutory revenue share has been increasing substantially since 2012. In fact, it's up roughly 20% over time. So again, the state's kind of doing the things that they've been calling for.
So we've got some confusion here. Indeed, I found a document yesterday, Tony, from the Senate Fiscal Agency that shows revenue sharing in Michigan between fiscal year 09-10 and fiscal year 15-16, going up every year with the exception of one. And the net result has been an increase in revenue sharing dollars up to more than $1.25 billion in fiscal year 2015-2016. This appears to contradict your larger point. What gives here? What's going on?
So let me break this into two different things. So let's go back to 2000. Statutory revenue sharing was $684 million in 2000. 15-16 estimate is $245 million. So what we're doing is we're starting in the middle of the story and saying that we've had the last couple years some minor increases and we're declaring victory. I don't think that's a fair analysis. The second point would be to look at where those increases come from. The biggest piece now is constitutional revenue sharing. Constitutional revenue sharing used to, at one point, was actually smaller than statutory. In 15-16, the amount that comes from the Constitution, which means requires no discretionary interpretation by the legislature, is $783 million. So they're including those increases when they say that they're taking action to improve things. In the current year budget that's proposed by the governor, there is zero increase in statutory revenue sharing.
But
all the increase relates to constitutional. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Still, a cynic might look at your data and say, hey, your analysis stopped in 2012. It's 2016, and revenue sharing has gone up since then. Would you concede that?
I would concede that revenue sharing has inched upwards since, but that doesn't change where they should be starting this conversation. Revenue sharing, and again, these numbers are according to the House Fiscal Agency, not according to us, should be at $1.6 billion, and we're just a little over a billion. So to say that we've increased the last couple of years is an accurate statement, but what they're not recognizing is they've deferred over the last decade plus those dollars away from local government to use for state purposes. They didn't make the tough decisions to change their spending habits. They pushed that down to local government. It's just a fact.
Tony Mangini is the chief operating officer at the Michigan Municipal League. We're talking about a new initiative of the leagues to free up and create more revenue for Michigan cities and local governments. The league maintains a perfect storm awaits. I'll quote from the league's press release, "Our funding model is broken. It's a perfect storm that is going to destroy Michigan's communities." Pretty sobering language there. Now, you made the point, Tony, that some amount of state money is guaranteed by the Constitution. And I take it that a bunch that needs the approval of the legislature is statutory spending, and that's been diminishing. Now, I understand that there's a 1998 law that you and others maintain apparently this law led people to believe that the statutory piece would be bigger than it's been. What was that 1998 measure about, and why, in your view, hasn't it worked?
Well, it hasn't worked because it also required that the monies be appropriated by the legislature, which for many years was not at issue. When they started to experience state budgetary issues, they co-opted those revenue sharing dollars, which, by the way, come from sales tax. And if anyone wants to go look at what sales tax trends have been, they've been very stable. And the reason they pledged that particular amount of, or pot of money, I should say, to local governments was for that very reason. They were trying to provide a stable source of revenues for local government to operate on. And it did exactly what it was supposed to do. It's had very minor movements throughout the years. But what we didn't anticipate and what no one expected was that the state, when they experienced difficult times, would abandon that deal that was made and do this. So that's really been one of the issues. And again, we're spending a lot of time talking about revenue sharing, and that is great, but our system goes beyond that. Again, we have tax limitations on property taxes that don't allow upward mobility. You know, right now I would expect the average person probably is saying, you know, the economy's pretty strong, I feel good about things. What they probably don't understand is local government and the way we've built our financing model does not share in that prosperity. We are now stuck at these lower declined property value levels. We have revenue sharing that is at levels that aren't even what they were, you know, a decade ago. And we're trying to operate in a 2016 cost environment. it just doesn't work.
Let's talk about some other angles here at just the broader issue of increasing municipal revenue. Are certain segments of the state economy not taxed enough? Should tax increases be a part of this discussion?
We're not suggesting necessarily that we need to have tax increases. I mean, perhaps that becomes part of that. I think we could be more creative in looking at different options. As you look around the country, there are a lot of different ways of raising revenue, and some areas have more diverse revenue pools. Bob Klein, a former state treasurer, commented on that earlier in the week, that you look around and there's a lot of different ways to raise revenue.
Bob's been on this program making this exact same point. He made it very strongly here about a month or 6 weeks ago, by the way. So
that you're familiar with his arguments around that.
Oh, absolutely. He's been on the program, sure.
And I'll be honest, the other part that we feel is a part of this as well isn't revenues at all, but it's looking at what can we do to deal with costs. There are a lot of costs that have been in municipal budgets right now that are decades long in the making. You know, you hear talk about retiree health care, for example.
Sure.
There's a huge dollar associated with that, $6 billion plus unfunded around the state. And it's easy to say, well, we should do something about that. What people don't recognize is it's very difficult in the current legal environment. You know, but what if we were to take a new look at that and say maybe there's a better way to deliver that benefit? Maybe we could move to some type of a common benefit and readjust some of the stuff, give people a good and livable health coverage, but do it differently. That could have dramatic impacts on the budget, freeing up dollars in a different way. So there might be other ways to get home on this.
We have focused here on revenue sharing, but I'll point out to our listeners that your mission is also to focus on cost containment, as you've mentioned, and the structure of government. I wish we had more time to dive into both of those here as policy issues. Let me move on to something else here, though. Your aim is to increase revenue for cities, townships, counties, villages across the state. I'm wondering if you are concerned that Detroit's and Flint's particular challenges might preempt an improvement in the fortunes of other municipalities. Could resolving their very pressing issues first mean that the broader improvements that you're after are just going to have to wait?
Well, I mean, I think it's fair to say that it's certainly taking a lot of bandwidth in Lansing to deal with those issues. And obviously, there's a dollar associated with those. And I also think it's important to note, though, that in my view, the system that we're talking about right now is largely to blame for that. We have built a system that makes it the only way to generate revenue in the current system is to have new construction. And if you don't have new construction, there's no opportunity to grow revenue. And the state has not changed for the most part in population. We've been roughly 10 million people for the last 20-plus years, which means we're just moving around the state. So we haven't had any real true growth. And so when you think about how that works, that means, you know, and the obvious examples, we'll use a Detroit as an example. They've clearly had a large population migration, which means every economic factor for them is going to go down. And it just moves somewhere else. Who's benefiting now? Are they smarter, or are they just more fortunate that right now they happen to be experiencing that growth, that uptick in the growth? At one point, that was Detroit. You know, so we need a different way of putting this together so that all ships rise and we can have a strong overall economy.
Understood. We got less than a minute, Tony. Let me close with this question. If your initiative were successful, what would this additional revenue be spent on? What does Michigan cities need the most? Quickly, please.
We need to have the kind of places that, can attract and retain talent, because that's what's going to drive our economy. So when you think about it in a local context, that's
placemaking. Placemaking, is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. And it's the core stuff, you know, public safety, all the things that matter to folks, the services that you utilize every day. That's the kind of stuff that we're using to deliver to our people.
Tony Minghini is Chief Operating Officer at the Michigan Municipal League. We've been talking about a discussion and a policy discussion that the league wants to relaunch over revenue sharing, cost containment, and generally revenue for Michigan municipalities, cities, villages, townships, counties, etc. You can learn more at Save My City. That's M-I, SaveMiCity.org. Tony Mangini, pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.